You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, episode 28, and thank you very much for tuning in. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Transgender Day of Visibility, which is tomorrow. If you haven't yet subscribed to the podcast, please take a second to do so. And I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. Or you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook by searching for Midlife SQ. So this week, Ubisoft and Sega both announced that they are canceling their previously confirmed attendance at E3 2023 in Los Angeles, which takes place in June. They're joining Nintendo, Microsoft, and PlayStation on the list of no-shows. This is supposed to be the first year of the so-called rebirth of E3 under new organizers Reed Pop, who put together shows like PAX and New York City Comic Con. Ubisoft is instead going forward with their own event, and from what I've been hearing from others within the industry is that there are actually very few publishers who are fully committed to the show. I've always loved E3. I've been to it twice, and it was really an incredible experience, a dream come true once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. But this just absolutely feels like the dying gasps of that show. This was supposed to be their triumphant return. But if they can't get any of the big players to attend, I think the comeback tour will be over before it's even begun. No offense to mid-level publishers. They make some of the best games. But if the headliners of your show are going to be, you know, Focus Interactive and 505, then you just might as well pull the plug right now. The industry has already established that it doesn't need E3, with GDC filling that role for developers to get together, and PAX doing great with fans and content creators. So where does that leave the show now? Sadly, I think we already know. So tomorrow morning, I will be heading down to the Minnesota State Capitol in St. Paul to take part in a rally for this year's Transgender Day of Visibility. There is going to be music, speeches from activists and elected officials, and it is going to be an occasion to celebrate the wonderful community of transgender people that we have here in the Twin Cities. It's more important than ever to voice your support for the trans community, as this year there has been a coordinated campaign by lawmakers across the country, Republicans in particular, to pass a staggering amount of laws attacking the transgender community. According to a group that tracks these sorts of things, there have been nearly 500 anti-trans bills introduced just this year. Being the target of attacks from politicians isn't new for the trans community. There have been fights for, you know, over bathroom use and military service and school sports for quite a while, but the attacks have become more brazen recently with bills aimed at stripping away medical care and even trying to restrict people's right to just publicly express who they are. There are bills which would charge both doctors and parents with a felony for providing gender-affirming care to their children. A horrible, horrible idea that places parents in a situation where they would risk jail time for providing care for their child or, you know, else flee to another state. Another bill would ban any agency which receives state funding from referring to someone by a pronoun other than the one determined at the time of their birth. The level of evil at work in this effort is staggering, and the people behind it rely largely on lies and misinformation to help spread their message of hate and bigotry. Just look no further than the horrific shooting earlier this week and the way that some people are using that tragedy as an opportunity to attack the trans community. It's absolutely shameless. Being a parent means that your number one job is to protect your child. And as the dad of a transgender kid, I have done my best to do that. But it scares the living hell out of me knowing that there are those in this world who would wish him harm just because of who he is. I struggle to even put into words how it feels to have to worry about these things. I should be worried about things like, you know, him starting driver's ed next week, or how much time he spends playing video games, not whether or not some backwoods congresswoman from Georgia is going to sic a bunch of Nazis on him. It makes me sick to my stomach. If you're a parent or a family member of a transgender child, it can be a confusing and difficult thing to navigate. And sometimes it feels like you're doing everything wrong. But I would like to maybe share a few bits of advice for you, because Lord knows I could have used it a couple of years ago. I was always accepting of my son and who he is without any hesitation. But that doesn't mean I didn't screw up. It was tough for a while to get used to, you know, using his preferred pronouns and the name he wanted to go by. I slipped up. But don't beat yourself up over it. You know, you've been calling them by, you know, something different for years, and using their birth name is, it's a reflex that takes time to break. And sometimes, you know, those names and those pronouns change again as they continue to discover who they are and their own identity. It's a process for both them and you. And as long as they know that you're trying, they'll most likely be understanding and they'll cut you some slack. Also, don't worry about not knowing all of the terminology right away. Trust me, I had to ask him to explain to me many times what certain things meant. Gender dysphoria, cisgender, asexual, pansexual. These are terms that you might not know, especially, you know, for parents of a certain age like myself. And that's okay. You know, when I was growing up, I knew about, you know, there was straight and there was gay, period. Just do your research, do your reading, look things up, and ask them to help explain it to you. If they're anything like my kid, they'll be happy to talk about it and help you to understand. And the most important thing is to let them know how much you love them and support them, and that nothing will ever change that. No gender identity or sexual orientation is going to change that they're your kid. The same kid that you held in that hospital as a baby, the same kid that you taught to tie their shoe, the same kid that you sat on the floor coloring with, a new name or a different pronoun isn't going to change that. Let them know that you are going to support them no matter what, and you are going to fight by their side for them so that they have the right to be who they are. Finally, this week, I wanted to shine a spotlight on some of the video games that have done a good job of highlighting trans inclusivity. For years, it's been something that you really didn't see in gaming at all. But thankfully, that's starting to change. And one of the more impressive offerings is in The Sims 4. The Sims has always tried to be an inclusive experience for all players, and a recent update has added new customization features for your Sims, including binders and top surgery scars, as well as customizable pronouns. So kudos to the team at EA for trying to make everyone feel like they can be represented in the game. If you've played and enjoyed the Life is Strange series, I also highly recommend checking out Tell Me Why. This narrative adventure from Don't Nod tells the story of Tyler and Allison, twins from a small Alaskan town who reunite after a traumatic incident from their childhood to fix up and sell the house that they grew up in. They end up trying to unravel the mystery behind what happened to them as kids, and of course, in traditional Don't Nod fashion, there is a superpowered twist to the gameplay. You can find all three chapters now on Xbox Game Pass. Celeste is one of the most critically acclaimed indie games of the past decade or so, and it also features a transgender main character whose experiences were inspired by the game creator's own journey of gender identity. I played a bit of this back when it first came out, and to be honest, it was a little difficult for my taste, but if you're up to a challenge, Celeste is absolutely worth your while. And lastly is a game that I haven't yet played myself, but I've heard great things about it, and that's If Found, which is available now on PC and the Switch. It's a visual novel about a space explorer trying to stop a black hole from destroying the planet. And it's supposed to be about 2 hours in length, so not too long of a commitment. And I'm absolutely going to find an evening to carve out for that game. Thank you so much for listening to this special episode of Midlife Side Quest. And don't forget, if you or someone you know is looking for resources or have questions, there are a lot of options. The National Center for Transgender Equality is a good place online to find everything from information on name changes to questions on how best to support the trans community. And you know what? If anybody wants to reach out to me, you know, if you are a parent and you have a kid going through something similar and you want to talk or have a question about being, you know, a parent to a trans kid, I'm not an expert, not at all, but I would be happy to talk. And my DMs are open on Twitter. My personal account is at JohnWahl77, J-O-H-N W-A-H-L 77. And go ahead and shoot me a message. And don't forget, you can catch new episodes of this show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave a review. And you can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, where it goes by Midlife SQ. So, until next time, be well and keep playing.